Hey, Pat, did you hear Maggie O'Brien's was voted best Irish bar in St. Louis?
No, Eddie, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, Maggie O'Brien's was voted coldest beer in town.
I had no idea.
Maggie O'Brien's was also voted best smoked corned beef sandwich in all the Midwest.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm very serious. We were also voted number one place to go before and after all major concerts and sporting events.
My God.
And Maggie's was voted best place to meet your future ex-wife.
Huh? Wait a second. Who did the voting?
Don't worry about that. All voting was done by Pat and Eddie McVeigh's family and friends, but it really is a good place to go.
Maggie O'Brien's at the corner of Market and 20th Street. Union Station is next to us.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
.343. It's the afternoon drive. Can't unsee that Randy Quaid picture.
Aren't you glad I brought it up?
Yeah. I think I'm more concerned that two of our listeners quickly had it at the ready in their phones and were able to text it in almost immediately. I mean, it's like they were staring at it as they were listening to the show and thought, ooh, I need to send this picture in. This is the picture they're talking about. Here you go, Joe. Enjoy. Not what I needed. But if you have anything else you'd like to text in, 314-880-0808. 314-880-0808. That's the number to dial in to get on board this here radio program. So I said on Thursday, went down to the ballpark, and I didn't get a chance to hear Friday night live at Shannon's, which was Mike Shannon and Joe Torre,
which I'm sure was
talking
wildly.
Yeah, so in the locker room, Klaibs was there, so I was able to ask Klaibs about that. And Klaibs, in about, I'd say, 5 minutes, was able to give a nice, quick rundown of some of the really good stories that
Torrey...
Did they
have podcasts?
He told me they did. I asked if they put it up online.
Okay.
I can't remember if I asked Klaibs that or if I asked Alex Ferrario if they podcasted that.
Because I'm sure those are just two natural storytellers. Just
yeah. So
shooting the breeze.
They had the story about that. I guess at one point they were... Alex was telling me the story, I thought it was, about... the time when Torrey got traded to the Cardinals, and the story behind that, how I guess Bob Gibson went in and said we should trade for Joe Torrey, and then they traded Orlando Cepeda for Joe Torrey, and Bob Gibson went in there the next day. He said, "I told you to trade for Torrey. I didn't tell you to trade Cepeda." So I guess that Torrey told that story, too, about that Gibson, I guess, told him that shared that story with him. By the way, speaking of Joe Torrey and the Hall of Fame weekend, today on the radio show, we have, text of the day, the Hall of Fame plaque from the weekend that was, the giveaway from the game on Saturday. I got it. I'm going to give it out to text of the day. So it has it's the Chris Carpenter, Joe Torrey. Main ones on there, Sam Braden and Terry Moore also featured on there. So what they did at the game on Saturday, before the game on Saturday, they closed down the media dining area where they also do the press conferences and everything. They closed that down starting at 5 o'clock. So from 5 to 5:45, didn't start guarding until like 5:20, I think. It got a little late start. They put out four tall tables in the front of the room, right in front of that big green Cardinal logo, the green sign with all the Cardinal logos on it that Matheny does his post-game press conference in front of. And then some guy comes in and brings in the Hall of Fame plaques of each of the four inductees. Carpenter on the far left, Torrey on the far right. I believe it was the granddaughter of Terry Moore? Or granddaughter of Sam Braden and the son of Terry Moore, who were there representing their deceased relatives for this. So those two are standing in the middle. Guy comes up and he goes, "All right." He goes, "You know, now we're going to give you an opportunity. You can come up to the players, and you can just you can talk to them about whatever you want. You talk to them, move on to the next one, do whatever you want. Half the room goes to Carpenter. Half the room goes to Tori.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for...
And I don't know if you could feel bad for them, because...
I'm sure they expected that, but...
I would feel bad if it was Terry Moore and Sam Braden.
Yes.
And everybody's like, ooh, Joe Torre, you know, executive for MLB, Chris Carpenter, just won a World Series with the team a few years ago. Oh, these guys, we weren't around to cover them. I'd feel bad then. The fact that it's relatives, I can't imagine. I mean, you could if I were accepting an award on behalf of a family member of mine and nobody wanted to talk to me about it, I'd understand. I didn't do anything to get this award. You know, I gave a speech on their behalf. Sure, I mean, I get it. I understand. So first, I walk over, and I rarely have ever asked questions at these things, because I know that there's people there who are actually asking questions for things that they're writing.
There's like Commish Hummel, who probably personally knows Joe Torre.
Yeah. Or, you know, people there who are using it for, again, this is Saturday. You know, someone like Chris Raby that's there doing it, I know he's going to be using this probably in the postgame, you know, or whatever their Sunday morning show is, Sports on a Sunday, or if they still do that, or whatever pregame show the next day. Like, they're going to use it right away. Nothing I'm using on Saturday or getting on Saturday evening I'm going to carry over to Monday afternoon. So I thought. Hear that in a few minutes. But Chris Carpenter is talking, and it was pretty odd the amount of times he brought up his own mortality.
He brought up death?
His death. I'm standing there listening about what does it mean to get this plaque, and one of the first things that he says is, it's pretty nice knowing that when I'm gone, this thing's going to remain. And then they're talking about, you know, what he's been doing since.
So is that what you said when Western Illinois honored you?
I did not. Hope to be going up there in October, by the way. All depends on what the Cardinals do. You know, they're asking like, oh, what have you been up to lately? What have you been doing lately? And he's like, well, you know, playing with my kids, you know, kind of got away from baseball. You never know how many days you have left with them.
Hmm.
It's like, what?
Does Chris know something that has not been released yet?
You're talking about death again. And then he's talking about what, you know, like in the 2011 playoffs. He starts talking about he threw every pitch like it was his last, and you never knew if you were going to be out there the next inning. And again with this. Like, why does he keep talking about this? This is so strange. Maybe that's just the type of person. Because he did mention, you know, like, oh, what's next for you? What are you planning next? Things like that. And, you know, he had mentioned a couple times talking about, you know, whatever God has planned for me. So I don't know if he's gone, if he was when he played, or if he's become more religious since.
I don't recall him being very religious as a player.
Because there were a few religious things that he had mentioned in that. So I don't know if maybe that's something that has happened. I know he's recently gotten remarried too. So I don't know what the reason was for some of the things he was saying with that. But it was, you know, it was, I, for the most part, an odd hearing him talk about that as many times as he did. I just thought it was really strange that he said that. So I go from that, and I'm like, okay, you know, this maybe in, you know, 5 years, Chris Carpenter comes back with the 2011 team, and, you know, maybe there's another time down the road where I have to talk with Chris Carpenter. You know who I doubt I'll ever get a chance to talk to again? Joe Torre. Believe me, I've tried to get him. I've tried to book him for interviews. It's not easy. He's always very busy making phone calls to umpires and managers. That's his job. So, standing around, Derek Gould, asked him a question about George Kissel. To which he immediately goes into this story about traveling with Yogi Berra.
When I used to travel with Yogi, it was a funny story. Well, there were a lot of funny stories with Yogi, but, you know, when he got back in fold with the Yankees, came to spring training, he looked forward to spring training. You know, I'd show up about 4 to 7 in the morning, he'd already be there, and he'd say, what's for breakfast? What are we doing? You know, we do this whole thing. And he would come on every single road trip. Now, normally, when you're a celebrity coach, you pick your spots. He went everywhere. You know, we're in Tampa. We're based in Tampa. We're going to Fort Myers. And that's as far as you can go unless you go across the other side. And he goes with me. But now, we'll go in uniform. We won't follow the bus. We'll go like a half hour after the bus leaves because we usually stay back and work with guys who are staying back. Now, Yogi was my age about that time. So he doesn't go to the bathroom. So we'd stop. But we'd be back to stop at 7-Eleven. And he'd go and go to the restroom. Here he is, number 8, walking through the door. People are looking, they're going, no, it can't be. And there he is. And he has absolutely oblivious to, you know, I better sneak in. Or he just walks in, goes to the desk, where's the restroom, you know? And there he is, number 8 on his back, and he's, you know, going to the restroom. It was, you know, we had some priceless times in that. No, number 6 was at that time.
So there you go. If it was hard to hear, and I mean, there were a lot of people talking in the room. It was close quarters. Yogi Berra and Joe Torre, back in the late 90s, early aughts, would drive together from Tampa to Fort Myers, Florida. And Yogi Berra would ask Joe to stop at a 7-Eleven to use the bathroom. And would walk in and use the restroom in full Yankee uniform. Number 8 for the New York Yankees. Walking in to use the restroom at a gas station.
Can you imagine if you're there in Florida and you just happen to be up at 7-Eleven as well? You're getting a bottle of water and a Pop-Tart or something like that, maybe some coffee. You're at the checkout line. You're probably not paying all that much attention to your surroundings. And here comes some old guy in a full baseball uniform. Like, wait, it's Kent. Is that Yogi? Walks into the counter. Where's the bathroom?
Just to see that walking in, and yeah, and I mean I get the, you know, the difference here, but I remember there was once a time where Edmonds was driving to a remote in Waterloo, Illinois, and he stopped at a McDonald's and went in to get a drink. And he came to the remote and was laughing about the amount of people that were looking and wondering, is that Jim Edmonds, like, here in Waterloo? Like, why is Jim Edmonds here? Wondering, you know, what's going on there? But the thing, and that's the same, well, what was it? Bill Murray stopped at that Dairy Queen in Illinois, in like rural Illinois. What was it, like Greenville or Livingston or something like that?
Yeah.
Mount Olive, something, you know, one of those up around 55 before you get to Litchfield. People that know the Illinois area know what I'm talking
about.
Not
Chicago, so.
Stop.
Staunton.
Was it Staunton?
Staunton.
Staunton, okay. Home of the Bulldogs.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, Bill Murray, like, that's odd. I get that. They weren't in full uniform. Like, if Bill Murray walked in and wearing the uniform, the costume from Ghostbusters.
See, I was going to say a Space Jam uniform.
His groundskeeper uniform from Caddyshack. Or a muddied up wife beater. Like, that would be odd. If Jim Edmonds was wearing his Cardinal uniform going into a Waterloo and McDonald's, that would be odd.
It's an 80-year-old Yogi Berra in Yankee
yes.
pinstripes.
Right! That's the thing, too.
Some gas station in the middle
yes.
of Florida.
Like, Edmonds isn't that far removed from playing.
Yogi's probably moving a little slow.
Right.
Probably can't even pick up a bat at that point in his age. Or just swing
old,
it a little.
Yeah, long. Old small guy walking in, full Yankee uniform.
Like there's nothing normal. Like everything's normal about it. There's nothing out of the ordinary. Where's your bathroom?
Excuse me, sweetheart. Wait, which way to the lavatories?
Crazy old man just walked in here in a Yogi Berra uniform.
Hey, honey, go look up who's number 8 on the Yankees. That man doesn't look like he could play. Number 8's been retired for decades. That belonged to Yogi Berra. There was an old man that just walked in here wearing that. Must did he look like this? Why, yes, he did. Just missed our chance to meet and greet Yogi Berra. Oh, it was such a great story that was told out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
And of course, you know, a guy like Torrey has hundreds of those.
Mm-hmm.
He said to pick one.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like, how do you pick one story from all of Yogi's days?
You think Yogi, some guy texted in saying he would have loved to hear the flatulence.
No! But, God, I was going to ignore that text.
Well, no, but you think Yogi's the kind of guy who tries to start a conversation in the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, would you respond if this were 10 years ago and Yogi were still with us, RIP, but you're in a bathroom and Yogi walks in and let's say there's a divider between the urinals and you're going to the bathroom and Yogi starts talking to you. Do you respond?
I have to think I do.
Okay.
I'd have to think that I would say something to him. It's Yogi Berra. All right, we'll check in, see what's going on with L.A., see what's up with the Rams. It's like checking in on an old girlfriend with Vinny Bonsignor coming up next.